Jesus delivers harsh words about the purifying and potential divisive effects of obedience to God's call. The way of the cross often leads followers to encounter hostility and rejection, even from those they love. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress am I under until it is complete? Do you think that I have come to bring peace to this earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our refining fire, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's texts like these that often make me think in our liturgical setting and with all our responses, how do you all wrestle with our response of praise to you, O Christ, with such difficult text? Do some of you not say the words at all? Do you say them because you have to, and we must adhere to our ritual rites, even if we might not mean it? Others might be thinking, go get them, Jesus, amen, come on. I remember myself thinking, primarily in my seminary days, because my memory before that just isn't all that good. But I remember thinking, okay, preacher, shine some light of good news and grace on this message. Not because I was expecting to hear a Jesus Band-Aid cover this hard truth, but rather to reveal a truth that needs to be heard from our Lord and Savior. So a test like this raises a question, and for me, I think that key question is, how is it that the Prince of Peace, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, comes to bring fire and division, particularly naming the example of those within a family unit? I joked last night with my mother-in-law that it seems that she has a knack for coming on Sundays where this text is in the lectionary. 3 years ago, the first sermon she heard from Deacon Shannon was this very text. But I will point out it says nothing about son and mother-in-law, just for the record. And so we have this text, and let us together embrace this mess as we wrestle with God's truth. These texts challenge our understanding of who God is. This one in particular points out that following the way of Jesus is not a way of the, excuse me, following the way of Jesus is not a way out of conflict, but rather will lead to conflict. Jesus does not desire conflict by any means, but sees the inevitability of it and wants to prepare his disciples for the path ahead. Conflict does happen. And Jesus' ministry certainly was not immune to it either. From the beginning, Jesus' words literally upset people to the point where they wanted to toss him off a cliff. Jesus' work was not peaceful. It disrupted the socioeconomic norms of the day, particularly in the places of oppression, greed, idolatry, exploitation, dehumanization, narcissism, and any and all evils that are contrary to God's kingdom. These things rubbed up against the very thing Jesus came to bring, what Jesus was about. And so Jesus comes with fire. We hear it already in John's proclamation. The one who comes after me baptizes with fire in the Holy Spirit. A fire that is necessary. Necessary for purification and refinement. A fire that is both cleansing and condemning. A fire that both empowers and destroys. Just like the baptism with which we share with Christ. In our baptisms, we die to our old selves. This is the destruction part. Our sin is washed from us. And we are born anew, clothed in Christ, empowered in God's love, to love God and love neighbor. This is the baptism Jesus gives to you and to me. A baptism that is filled with intense expectations and desire for the world's well-being. This is what God's fire does. And God's fire brings about God's presence and power to effect change in the world. Jesus yearns for God's dream to be understood and lived out. And he only has so much time to convey this message before his death on the cross. God's activity through Jesus' ministry has a disturbing effect on the world as it exposes human beings' deepest loyalties, often showing them to be idolatrous, ridiculous, and even demonic. And so division and conflict happen. It happens between Jesus and the people as they resist his message of good news, as well as it happens amongst the people as they bicker with one another. Even amongst family units, as Jesus tells us, conflict will arise. We've seen this, and more than likely you all have a story of your own in which you've experienced this conflict. This very thing we experience in a wide variety of ways, particularly in this day of age, in subjects of religion and politics. Both of which things were what Jesus himself challenged. Things that got him killed, hung on a cross. In proclaiming the good news of God's refining fire, Christ Jesus was sentenced to death in the cruelest way possible. Conflict and division make us uneasy. There's no denying that. Conflict and division make us feel uneasy. Here in our North American culture, where Christians and the church seem to avoid it by any and all means necessary, we don't think we can handle, nor should we talk about the hard issues. Because if we do, we somehow might get hurt. So instead, we sweep it under the rug. And then we call it peace. Because we've avoided and buried what could be the cause of divide. But we all know that avoiding conflict doesn't make it go away. It simply just kicks the can down the road. Eventually, that conflict will bubble up and reach its boiling point, erupting into a mess of burned and wounded individuals or communities. Now, some do still try to avoid this mess by pretending it isn't real or running in the opposite direction, all the more so if one is played a part in that eruption. But it's in these crises that we are called, brothers and sisters. We are called by Christ to cling to Him, giving thanks for the presence of His refining fire that burns off our mistakes and impurities. Because it is in this cleansing process our shortcomings are exposed for what they really are. And we can receive God's true peace. Peace, as Luke's Jesus portrays, is offered in forgiveness, in healing, and in resurrection. These are the only things that can heal damage done in conflict and division. Too often we don't get it. We don't understand. We can't see what is right in front of us. And we seek other means. One might say it's part of our survival mechanism that's deeply ingrained in our beings. The example Jesus gives us here with this little weather narrative reveals this. We don't know how to interpret the present time. For the sake of peace, we can move along avoiding the tensions of what's pulling people apart. We try to avoid the hard work of self-examination and repentance, seeking the easy road. The work Jesus calls us to is not an easy path. In fact, Jesus' ministry itself probably will be responsible for stirring up conflict and division, just as it did for Jesus himself. But we've got to ask the question, what is at stake for our neighbor if we don't? What is at stake for our neighbor in need if we continue to kick that can down the road? No, we're not called to go stir trouble, cause division of our own. But we go seeking to know, to share, to serve God's love with those who need to hear it most. Those closest to us may not understand. They may, in fact, turn away when we stand in solitude with refugees, with the homeless, with the hungry, or the imprisoned. They may not understand if we speak out against racism, sexism, sexual orientation, or gender identity. We'll probably be ridiculed, called names, and even rejected because we've changed. I know this. I've experienced this same ridicule in my own family, with my own friends, because I'm not that person they thought I was. But this is the refining fire Jesus is talking about. One that causes us first to ask about our neighbor's well-being before our own. This baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit Jesus brings is a liberator from the devices and systems that keep us in bondage into a freedom that seeks to share the freeing word with others. Brothers and sisters, our trust lies in Him who brings both fire and light to the sin and death at work in our communities. So yes, the ministry of our Prince of Peace may actually look the opposite of what we've imagined. Avoiding conflict, looking the other way, is not the way to peace. Naming the thing what it is will lead to God's peace. Persevering through the hard work of refining will hurt. It will hurt. But it's this cleansing fire that aims, and it's only this cleansing fire that aims to draw us near to God's kingdom. Because we have a cloud of witnesses. We have God with us in that journey. As we pursue God's dream of unconditional love for all people. Therefore, we do say, praise to you, O Christ. Praise to you, O Christ, because we too desire to live in the world God wills for all people, even with the difficulties along the way. Let us embrace the change from within that allows us to see ourselves and the world as God does. A kingdom, a dream, kindled with God's justice, God's shalom, God's meeting us in the other. Let those filled with God's word speak it faithfully. Amen.